Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, one of the most high-profile interviews we've ever done, Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass sits down with us for her first extended sit-down interview since the fires in Pacific Palisades. The sit-down comes 43 days after the fires began. Bass basically took a PR strategy of, I'm not going to do a sit down and talk much about me while LA is in what she called a state of emergency, the fires and then the rain and mudslides that came after it. As LA starts to get out of some of that, she thought it was the right time to finally do a sit down. We've been asking her to do one since day one. We recorded it in the middle of the week. And then by the end of the week, when our show was to air on TV, she made a big announcement. Fire Chief Kristen Crowley out of her job. Bass making the decision that she wasn't cooperating with an investigation, an after-action report, which she was supposed to. So she said she's out. She also slammed the fact that Crowley basically had left 1,000 firefighters who could have been deployed, brought them back instead of having them on overtime, and saying that that could have made a difference in the Palisades. So Crowley is now out. There is a temporary replacement, Villanueva, who has been a 41-year veteran, and there's going to be a big national search. So our interview was before that, but it happened and got a whole lot of attention and may have increased the pressure for Kristen Crowley to be out. And as you listen to the full interview, you can sort of hear some of the hints of where Bass was going with Crowley. Some have suggested that she was throwing Crowley under the bus in this interview, but she certainly puts a lot of blame on her. She talks about Ghana. She talks about that Sky News interview. She talks about her future. She talks about the LADWP. She talks about Crowley. She talks about the fact that her brother lost his home in all of this. So this is the full unedited interview. It was done at a site in Culver City. That is a place where people who are workers in the area who lost work because of the fires can come and get assistance. And so that's what we talk about at the beginning. I'm really curious what you have to think about this. So check it out and let us know. Here's our conversation with LA Mayor Karen Bass. Mayor Bass, always good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you as well.
So obviously this is our first time to talk like this since the fires have begun, mm-hmm. and we want to get into all of that in a moment. But before we do, let's talk about where we are.
Yes.
This is the Impacted Worker and Family Recovery Center, one of four in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. What's the most important thing you want people to know about this space?
Well, I want people to know that if you worked in the area, in a home, or on the property, or in any of the businesses, or you were impacted by the fires, you can come here. Because I think a lot of times we forget about those individuals that were impacted as well. And it doesn't matter where you live, where you're from, you can come here and get an array of resources, from direct cash assistance to unemployment, job assistance, training. There's a lot of different county, city, state, as well as nonprofits that are here to help individuals.
And so this is sort of like a one-stop shop for all of that.
It's another one-stop shop. This is our third one-stop shop. The first one was the Disaster Recovery Center, mm-hmm. which over 7,000 people have visited. Last week, we opened the One-Stop Rebuilding Center, so 12 city departments in one area, so people can begin the permitting process, doing their planning now, which I call phase three. Mm. And so we want people to be able to return home in the Palisades, and we want them to begin that process now while the debris and hazardous materials are being removed.
So this is our first time to talk about what happened with the fires, and there's been so much said about you, but not a lot from you necessarily on some of this in this sort of format. So I want to give you a chance to say, in your words, what was going through your mind during a lot of these big moments.
Sure, and let me just begin by saying, while the city was burning, and then right after the fires were barely put out, we moved into rains and mudslides. Yeah. And during all of that time, I did not think the focus should be on me. I thought the focus should be on the city and the people that were suffering.
So the whole thing starts, there's the decision to go to Ghana, which I know you've said was a mistake now. But I just am curious on the thought process behind it.
Right.
Because we know that there was warnings about the weather before you went, and you still went. What was the thought process behind going to Ghana?
So let me just tell you a couple of things. First of all, when the White House called and asked me if I would represent the president, I said yes. It was going to be a very, very short trip, over a weekend and two business days. We need to look at everything about the preparation and all of that for the fires, because I think when we evaluate that, we will find that although there were warnings that I frankly wasn't aware of, although there were warnings, I think our preparation wasn't what it typically is, meaning that before there's a major weather event, mm-hmm. for example, last week when we knew we were going to get into the rains,
right.
you saw us come together and us talk about, you know, get your sandbags, bring the K-rails out. That type of preparation didn't happen. If that had, I will tell you, Alex, I wouldn't have even gone to San Diego, let alone leave the country.
But what do you mean there were warnings you weren't aware of? Because I know we were talking about it on the news. A lot of people were talking about the problems, warning that this was going to be a huge deal.
So when I talked about it with the fire chief, what she said is that we have warnings of Santa Ana winds a lot. But predicting this, and you saw we from the city, from the county, that level of preparation really didn't happen. So it didn't reach that level to me. To say something terrible could happen and maybe you shouldn't have gone on the trip.
Why didn't
But to me, I don't know. I mean, I think that that's one of the things we need to look at. So two investigations are taking place. One internal to the city, and that's mm-hmm. the fire commission, because that's mandated by the city charter. Mm-hmm. So the commission will hire an outside entity to examine everything, the pre-deployment, you know, why were firefighters sent home, you know, all of that that should have taken place that didn't. And then also the governor has contracted with the Fire Safety Research Institute, which is a national institute that investigated what happened in the fires in Maui. So everything that happened, including that, needs to be examined. But I will tell you that I felt absolutely terrible not being here for my city mm-hmm. and not being here for my family, who was impacted by the fires as well. And so when I say it was a mistake, absolutely, the idea that I was not present was very painful.
On the way back, mm-hmm. there's this Sky News reporter that comes up to you, sort of ambushes you, right?
Yes,
with the phone,
he did.
With the phone in your face, and that uh-huh. clip has gone mega viral.
Right.
And we know you didn't respond to him in the time.
Right.
What was going through your mind and why the decision not to respond?
Well, I will tell you, yes, it was an ambush, and I wasn't sure who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And that is unfortunate because I see the way that looks as though I was avoiding. But when you're getting off a plane and you've been on a plane 17 hours and somebody hits you with a camera, I wish in hindsight my response had been better.
Yeah. In terms of the city's preparation, as you mentioned,
right.
the LA Times had a story out just this week saying that there could have been 10 more fire engines
right.
in the Palisades.
Right.
Did the city fail the residents of the Palisades?
Well, again, all of that has to be examined with experts. You know, there's also a report that there were firefighters that were sent home. The shift was sent home.
Right.
Why were they sent home? All of that needs to be examined.
Yeah.
So, that's why we're going to have the investigations, because it's very important to get to the bottom of it.
What does accountability look like to you? And is it time that somebody be fired for this?
Well, again, I mean, I think it's premature to say now. But I do think that we have to examine everything, and that is going to take place very soon.
How do you assess the job performance of the chief of the fire department?
Well, I think that that's something that has to be assessed. I need to understand why things were handled differently this time than they've been handled before.
And why do you think that is?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I'm not sure. I think, you know, as when I spoke with her, again, Santa Anas happen all the time, and not being able to predict the seriousness of this. And I think, again, it's not just the city. We have to look at the entire area.
Right. LADWP, we have that reservoir mm-hmm. that is offline for repairs. We have all sorts of reports of fire hydrants not having enough pressure.
I will tell you that the fire hydrant situation is also something that has to be examined. The reservoir, as you know, was a reservoir for drinking water. Mm-hmm. The reason why it was empty, it was mandated by the state to be emptied because there was a tear in the cover. In the best of all worlds, one of the things that was so difficult in the fires were the hurricane force winds right. that the planes could not fly in. So even if the reservoir had been filled, they wouldn't have been able to have used that. But the fire hydrant issue is something that is a whole separate investigation. It's a combination between the DWP and the fire department. The fire department inspects the fire hydrants. The DWP repairs them.
How do we change all of these things going forward at a time when we have so many challenges as a city to begin with?
Well, you know what? It raised with me an evaluation of the entire emergency management system right. in our city, the weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that we have to look at as a region, the city and the county. We're preparing for these international events. Right. And so I am in the process of evaluating all of that and looking at restructuring, reassignment, all of that that needs to be done.
The Steve Soboroff situation, you mm-hmm. appointed him, somebody you've known and worked with for a long time, who's been very successful in a lot of situations. Mm-hmm. This report that he's going to get $500,000 from a series of nonprofits, and then that report becomes public, and then apparently he's working for free. Mm-hmm. And people are like,
first of all, I was very happy to ask Steve to come and participate. And let me just tell you, it took a lot of arm twisting to get him to come, which is why he agreed to come for 90 days. His contributions to our city, building in Playa Vista, in the Staples Center, and the fact that he was from the Palisades. So I was very happy when he did reconsider and decided that he would be willing to do this for free.
When you say it took a lot of arm twisting, he didn't really want to help?
He was involved in a lot of different projects.
Yeah.
I was asking him to walk away from everything. Yeah. And to come and to help his city. Right. That was the arm twisting.
Got it. What has this experience taught you about leadership?
Well, it's taught me a lot about leadership in terms of the significance, how you present yourself, what people expect from you. And that's very important. And it's important for me to demonstrate to Angelenos that I can lead. I can lead the recovery and the rebuilding, opening up the centers, doing things faster than was expected, making sure that the permitting process goes smoothly, mm-hmm. passing executive orders so that we can expedite things, so that people can return home as fast as possible.
And what is as fast as possible? What's a realistic time frame for people to actually start rebuilding and actually get home?
Well, you know, I'm hoping that the rebuilding and the planning process can actually start now. But you know that's going to be individuals. Mm-hmm. People are in a variety of different circumstances. We have seniors who might have paid off their mortgage years ago and are living on, you know, fixed incomes. We have people that want to rebuild exactly as they built before. Other people who might want to make changes, which then the process would be a little longer for. Mm-hmm. So what I understand is 3 years would probably be the fastest, but probably it would be more like 5. So it really depends on the individual circumstances. And by the way, one of the things that I wanted to focus on, that Soboroff will pay attention to, is the non-residential part. So we thought that it would be helpful in the Palisades to rebuild that sense of community mm-hmm. and to get the area where the playground, the rec center, the library, the Ralphs, the other commercial businesses up and running. So they're going through phase 1 and phase 2. And then after phase 2, when all of the debris has been removed, yeah. we want to put up temporary structures, because there are still a lot of people who will continue to live in the Palisades whose houses were not damaged.
Right.
We want them to be able to have access to services, but we also want the community to be, you know, for people to come back while they're rebuilding. Yesterday, Alex, I met with high school students, mm-hmm. high school students from the Palisades and high school students from Altadena, and I felt so bad for them mm-hmm. because this is a group of young people who just a few years ago
COVID.
Were out of school,
right.
and here they are again, and many of them were seniors, and here we are talking again about a graduation that might not take place. So thinking about their emotional well-being yeah. as well, and the emotional well-being of everybody who've been impacted.
Yeah, and when people hear 3 to 5 years, Governor Newsom was talking about the idea of a year.
I don't know about that. Yeah. But I think that what we can do in a year, or maybe a little bit longer, are the temporary structures that we would put in the commercial area.
You know, there are critics of you that were supporters of you. There were critics of you that were opposed to you before this whole thing.
Yes.
That say that you didn't, they're frustrated by your performance in all this, and they don't have faith that you can lead the city right now.
Well,
what do you say to those critics?
It is my responsibility to disprove that.
Yeah.
It is my responsibility to prove that I can lead, and I am, the rebuilding and the recovery process. Expediting things, as I mentioned, opening up these centers that people can access, 7,000 people going to the disaster recovery centers. I think it's important to communicate to people what is actually being done, mm-hmm. and that's my responsibility to do.
For you, this is personal.
Yeah.
Your own brother lost his home in
right.
all of this. How has that shaped your perspective on what people are going through?
Well, I mean, I think that all of us as a city are grieving. Mm-hmm. Are grieving because many of us, if not most, knew somebody mm-hmm. that was impacted. Either they worked there, they lived there, or some way. They went to school there. And so while I'm dealing with it as the leader of the city, I'm also dealing with it within my own family. My brother lived in Malibu for 35 years, survived many fires. Mm. And this one, unfortunately, they didn't make it. Their house didn't make it. They're fine. My brother and sister-in-law are fine.
In terms of kind of where we go from here as a city, as a region, all the rest of that.
You know what? We have to stand together.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of elements, as there always are, that want to divide us, that want to have us fighting against each other, that want to pit people against each other. We still have the World Cup coming in
right.
a little more than a year. So we have to stick together as a city. And you saw that, right, during the fires.
Yeah.
You saw people coming together and volunteering and dropping off food and clothes. That kind of collective experience and feeling needs to be what leads the day, not division.
But how do we sort of balance everything you got to do? Because mm-hmm. we were already before the fires having
That's
challenges
right.
with homelessness,
right.
housing affordability, the ability
public
to build
safety.
Public safety,
right.
all of that.
Right.
Deficit challenges
right.
with the budget.
The budget
and now
out.
You have this on top of it.
And we have a changing political environment.
Yeah, so how do you balance all of that? I mean, is there enough money to go around? Is there enough resources to go around?
There's never enough money to go around. But what I will say, though, is that, you know, President Biden, before he left, did something that was unusual. FEMA typically reimburses after a disaster 75%. They agreed to reimburse up to 100%. President Trump has not changed that. And there has certainly been an openness and a willingness from the Trump administration to be very helpful. And so I think it's important that the entire nation is invested in our success.
Yeah. And do you think that that's happening?
I do. I absolutely do. I mean, the response from the administration, I mean, the perfect example is phase one, which is the removal of the toxic, the hazardous waste. Mm-hmm. That was supposed to take months.
Mm.
And it's moving along very quickly. They are projecting that it'll be done in the next few weeks, and that was supposed to have taken months.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with phase two. The one thing, though, we do need to appeal to people is that if you lost your house or your house was severely damaged, we do need you to fill out that right of entry mm-hmm. form at the county, or you could go to lacity.gov, fill out that form so that the debris can be removed by the Army Corps of Engineers. But it's unprecedented. The amount of staff that the federal government has sent in from the Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers.
And just lastly, what is your main message to the people of Los Angeles at this incredibly perilous time for our city?
My main message is we are going to recover, we're going to rebuild, and for the people of Palisades, I am going to stay on this until everybody that chooses to go back is able to rebuild, and I am going to do everything I can in my power to expedite the rebuilding, but we also have excellent cooperation from the governor and from our state legislators and from our federal legislators. They've all been here. The governor is passing executive orders to help with the expediting the things that I can't do on a local level. So your government will be united. The private sector will be working with us, and we will get through this because LA always does.
And are you still enjoying this job, and are you still committed to running for re-election?
I am, absolutely. I mean, I ran for a purpose. I knew I would face challenges. Mm-hmm. I've been through disasters before in terms of living in the city, and I've had major challenges, whether I was in Congress or in the State House, and so yes.
And yes, you're still committed to running for re-election.
I'm still committed to running for re-election. I'm still committed to doing this job every single day.
Mayor Karen Bass, thank you so much for the time.
You're really welcome.
Always appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Our thanks to L.A. Mayor Karen Bass. What a conversation. We'd love to hear from you. Reach out to me on social media, at Alex Michelson. I would love to hear what you think of all of this. In what turned out to be a really historic week in LA politics. Thanks for listening. Like us, subscribe, tell people about our show. We've got no advertising budget, so we rely on you for any help that you can give us. I'm Alex Michelson. We'll see you next week for more of The Issue Is.